Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church office. Praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way through His word. Blessings.
I'm preaching this morning from two verses in the second chapter of Exodus, and then one verse in chapter 3. Reading in Exodus chapter 2, verse 11 and verse 12. Now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And then one verse from chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And so we find here in Exodus chapter 2 and Exodus chapter 3 that due to dire circumstances and fear, Moses fled to the desert wilderness region of Midian. Now, just as a side note, the Sahara is the largest hot desert in the world. Antarctica is the largest cold desert and the largest overall. But what makes a desert is dryness. The lack of moisture, evaporation. And we can apply that to our spiritual lives. It would be a mistake this morning to think that Moses was just in the desert in a geographical and physical sense. He was also there spiritually. It was there in a literal desert and a spiritual desert that God spoke to Moses from the burning bush. In fact, the word desert in Hebrew literally can be translated the place of speaking. That's what happened out there in the desert. Moses was in the desert. God spoke to Moses in the desert. God taught Moses in the desert. Moses grew and he learned and he had a life-changing encounter with God out there in the desert. And for us today, for us, no matter when or how we might end up in a desert wilderness experience, it's there that we encounter God. It's there that we endure. It's there that we learn if we're willing to be taught of the Lord, regardless of how we end up in the desert. God is desiring to use that experience to teach us, and the sooner we learn the lesson that God's trying to teach us in the desert, the sooner we come out on the other end. Otherwise, we just keep going around in circles. We're destined to keep doing the same things if we're not willing to allow God to teach us in those places. And so I'm preaching today on what it is that God might want to teach us when we find ourselves in a dry desert, wilderness-like experience. In the Bible, the desert and the wilderness is mentioned many times, over 100 times. And there are 10 named wildernesses in the Bible that relate to the experiences that we go through. All of us are going to go through one or more of those wilderness experiences. I'm going to name one of them here in a few moments in this message. But what I want to emphasize is that the desert isn't just a place. It is an experience where we learn and we grow through it if we allow God into the process. This was the case for Moses. And I'm using Moses. We're going to come back to Moses. But I want to give you some other examples here as we get into this message today. I want to give you some examples. And I know I've been talking about the prophet Elijah quite a bit lately, but I want to mention him again this morning, because Elijah went from the mountaintop to the valley. He went from the mountaintop into the desert. Elijah came to the place in his life where he was dry. He was lonely. He had no peace or joy or enthusiasm for living. He went out into the desert and he climbed up under a juniper tree and he wanted to die. He said, "Lord, let me die." But that, don't miss this, folks. That is the same place where he encountered God. Right there. That's where he learned the greatest lesson of his life, was there at that moment in the desert. And I would have to mention Jesus himself. Jesus was no stranger to the wilderness. Look at this. Then Jesus was led, underscore that. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, a lot of people think, you know, God would never lead me to an experience like that. I started thinking about some of the ways that you and I might end up in a desert wilderness experience. Let me just briefly mention a few of these. We might end up in a desert wilderness experience as the consequence of our own personal decisions and actions. In other words, we end up there because of something that we do, some sin or disobedience or trying to run from God. And because God loves us, we end up in a desert situation. That was not the case for Jesus. Jesus had no sin. And then we might end up in the desert because of circumstances beyond our control. In other words, it's not something we do. It's something that someone does to us or the circumstances around us. We have no control over. But because of that, we become a victim. And we end up in the desert through no fault of our own. But because of these things around us, we might end up in the desert. But that can't be said of Jesus, because Jesus was never out of control. Jesus said, "No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own free will. I lay it down of my own initiative." He was always in control. So here's the thing, the third one. And this is what I want to really focus in on today. God places us there. God places us there for a purpose. The Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. I talked about these named wildernesses in the Bible that we can relate to our own spiritual experience. One of them that I want to mention. Now watch this, folks. Follow me here in this message. Remember, God led His people. Remember that in the Old Testament? He led them by a cloud. Remember that? The cloud led them into the desert of Shur. S-H-U-R. And that word Shur means limited. Hemmed in. A wall. Has anybody ever been in a situation where you just feel like you're hemmed in? Anybody remember the coronavirus that we went through? You know, you're hemmed in. There's a wall before you. You're wondering, where are the resources? I'm lacking in something here. But here's the thing. This is the great thing about God. God led them by the cloud into that desert. There was no water. See, that's where it was limited. There was no water there. But God brought them to the waters of Marah. They were bitter. People couldn't drink the water because the water was bitter. And they threw in the branch and the waters became sweet. And God brought them into the desert to reveal His miracle power. He may have a purpose of bringing you into that place so that you will learn and grow and see His handiwork and what He's seeking to do in your life. Let me give you a few more examples here. Philip, remember that? The Bible says that Philip was called into the desert. He was in the desert. And he saw this Ethiopian eunuch coming in a chariot and Philip ran and he caught up to him. The reason I'm giving this example is because it shows that something good can happen in the wilderness, in the desert. What happened? He shared the word and he got saved. This man got saved. And he was baptized. So God can bring good even in the midst of the wilderness and the desert. Then you have the children of Israel. After all that Moses did, I'm talking here about Moses and what happened to Moses and so forth. But after all of that, the children of Israel, God told them to go into the promised land. We all know the story. They spent 40 years going around in circles. God was trying to use that to teach them in the desert. But because of their unbelief and the hardness of their hearts, they just kept going around in circles. They wasted that experience and that entire generation, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, they perished in the wilderness. Now look at this. Look at what I wrote here. It's never God's will. I'm just going to say that. It's never God's will for us to waste a desert experience or to die in the desert. Now, I got so excited about this week. These verses from Hosea. This may not make you that excited. I don't know, but I about jumped out of my chair. I've read the book of Hosea many times about God's unfaithful, wayward people and what God was speaking. But when I read this in preparation for this sermon, this just leaked out at me. Look at this. God speaking about His people, His wayward people, His unfaithful people. He says, I will win her back once again. I will lead. There's that word. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her. God did not drive His people into the desert to punish them, to condemn them. He led them there to restore them. Our God is a God of restoration. Can anybody say amen? God is not willing that any should perish. And so, God said, I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her there. I will return her vineyards to her and transform. Look at this. Look at this. I will transform the valley of trouble. Are you in any kind of trouble today? The desert, the wilderness. God says, I'm going to transform that trouble. And I'm going to make it a door of hope. I'm going to make it a gateway of hope. Someone tell me what's on the sign out there. Even Jimmy knew that, what that was. That's right. Hope. How many of you know this world today is starving for hope? They're starving for good news. God said, she will give herself to me there as she did long ago when she was young, when I freed her from her captivity in Egypt. See, God may, with a purpose, God may place us in a wilderness, a desert experience to bring deliverance, to bring growth into our lives. Now, let me get back to Moses, okay? You can divide Moses' life into three 40-year periods. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, He said Moses spent the first 40 years of his life thinking that he was somebody. He spent the second 40 years finding out that he was a nobody. And then he spent the last 40 years finding out what God can do with a nobody. Moses went into the desert here when he was 40. He came out when he was 80. And it was during that time that God molded him and he grew and he learned. And for us, when we go through these experiences, it may last a few weeks, may last months. In some cases, it could last years. But when we find ourselves there, we need to ask some questions. Why am I in the desert? That's what a lot of people want to know when they're going through a dry time, a difficult time. Why am I in the desert? What is God trying to teach me? We all ask that question. What can I learn about God? What can I learn about myself in this experience? Now, there are three lessons that I want to share with you now. Three lessons we can learn in the desert, in the wilderness experience. Number one, God always has a purpose in the desert. God doesn't do anything without a purpose. Our God is a God of order, design, purpose. And here's what we need to know. We quote this all the time. Do we believe it? We know that God causes some things. That's not what it says. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purposes. And here's the thing. When we get into that situation, regardless of how we get there, we're in the wilderness, we're in the desert, there are some typical responses that take place. There a lot of people just go through denial their whole life. They're not willing to cooperate with God. They think God doesn't want me there. He doesn't want me to be there to teach me something. So they just go through this denial process. And then there's resistance. Impatience. We get into a situation like that and we're just trying to look for some shortcut. How can I get out of this as quickly as I can? Instead of waiting on God and trying to hear God. God, what is it that you're trying to teach me? What do you want me to learn here in this difficult situation I'm going through? And then hopefully there's cooperation where we just say, God, you know, you might be in a situation you don't understand. Lord, I don't understand this, but I'm going to surrender to you in this. Whatever it is that you want to say to me, whatever it is that you want to teach me, whatever it is that you want to do in me, please use this painful, difficult situation. I place it in your hands. You see, folks, look. Here's what I really believe this. I look at my own life. How did I learn and grow? You come under discipline. Our graduates, they had to come in under some form of discipline to get to where they are. And I believe this. I don't think we'll ever grow or learn who we are until we walk with the Lord through the desert, through the wilderness. And people who think that the Christian life is just this mountaintop experience. It's all going to just be all joy all the time. Those are the ones that are prone to become shipwrecked in their faith. Now look at this verse, Deuteronomy 8:2. Look at this. This is key to my message today. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness. Why? To humble you and to test you. You see, our graduates today, they had to pass tests from their instructors or whatever program they were going through to find out what's in the mind. What do you know? But God, look at this. Why does God test us? To know what was in your heart. That's why God will allow us and lead us into the deserts of time to reveal what's in our hearts. Are we going to keep His commandments or not? And that's what happened with Moses. Moses was out there for 40 years and God was just working and stripping away these layers after all these things that Moses did that were wrong. And God just started stripping away the layers and brought healing and forgiveness and humility to Moses. So I say, first of all, today, God always has a purpose in the desert. God is a God of purpose. Number two, I hope this encourages you today. God never leaves us alone in the desert. Aren't you glad for that today? He never leaves us alone in the desert. And you see, here's the thing about the wilderness or death. You can't trust your feelings. You can't trust your emotions. You trust God. You trust the Word of God. Look what happened to Job. You talk about being in a desert. You talk about being in the wilderness. Job said, look, I go forward, but He's not there. Backward, and I cannot perceive Him. When He works on the left hand, I cannot behold Him. When He turns to the right hand, I cannot see Him. Job was saying, look, I'm in this place. I can't even feel God. I can't see God working. But Job understood the process. Job understood the process. And he said, he knows. Here's faith. He knows the way that I take when He has tested me. I shall come forth as gold. I want to tell you, Tay, if you're in a desert, I want to tell you how to survive in the desert. When you're in the desert, you have to keep trusting God. Keep doing the right thing. Whatever the next right thing is, you just keep trusting God. You keep doing the right thing. And here's the thing about the desert. I was thinking about Galatians 6:9, great verse. Let us not become weary in doing good, because in due season we'll reap a harvest. You may be going through a season of wilderness, dryness, but in due season, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. Here's what you need to do when you're in the desert, when you're in the wilderness. Plant the seed of God's Word. Plant seeds, water the seed. Wait for God's water to come in the desert, and then you'll reap a harvest. So today, you know, you may feel dry and empty. You may be going through some difficulty in your life, but I've got good news for you. The God we serve, He will never leave you or forsake you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to leave you to die in the wilderness. He's given the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you without comfort. I'm going to give the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, the Encourager, the Helper, the Comforter to come and to be with you always. Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Look at this. Here's the blessing. Here's the blessing in the desert. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and bloom. Think of that. The desert shall rejoice and bloom. Waters shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. I've got some good news for you. Philippians 1:6. God who began a good work in you, guess what? Has God started a work in your life? Are you saved? He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. That's how faithful our God is. So here's my last point this morning. God will never forget His promise when we're out there in the desert. God is a covenant-keeping God. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ our Lord. Now look at this. I'm going to wrap this up here. Look at this other passage from Exodus chapter 2. Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage. And they cried out, and their cry came up to God. If you're in any type of bondage, if the devil's formed some kind of stronghold in your life, I'm going to tell you today, God is here to deliver you, to bring you out of that bondage. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. God, He knows where you are today. He acknowledges what you're going through, and you're not alone. That's the good news today. You might be in some type of wilderness experience, but God has promised to be with us. And if we cooperate with Him, we learn the lessons. We learn the lessons, and we move forward. I'm going to have our musicians, our praise team, come and begin to play for us. And I said I was going to give a brief message to our graduates today. And as they're preparing, as we have an invitation, and if any of you have a prayer need today, I'll pray for you. If you'd like to receive the Lord, I'll pray a simple prayer for you to receive the Lord. If you want to just come and present your life to the Lord, make a deeper commitment. Maybe you need to be freed up from something. I'll pray for God to help you and to deliver you. And maybe you just want to pray for our nation, our families, whatever it may be. But here's the thing about our graduates. As I was praying for the graduates this week, I thought, you know, and it's great, like what John said. It was a great presentation where he talked about the Bible. And I still have a Bible that was given to me. And that was a long time ago when I graduated from high school. Some of you probably thought I never graduated from high school, but anyway, so I thought, you know, hey, I could just say, hey, graduates, just here's the Bible. But then I started thinking, and there's so many verses I could give, but the Lord laid two on my heart. And graduates, I promise you this, if you will take these to heart, you will not go wrong. You see, here's the thing, your education is just now beginning. Just now. The education of life. Who knows what you may have to go through in this life. And you need to graduate from this life into God's eternal kingdom. So here's what the Lord gave me. And if you will hold these to you, I guarantee you, you will not fail. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we know those. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will. There's the promise. He will direct your path when you trust in Him. Ecclesiastes 12, 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What is it? Fear God. That means reverence. Reverence God. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind. Fear God and keep His commandments. If you would do these, you won't fail. You'll make it. Father, I just pray right now over this service right now. As I stretch out my hands over this congregation, I thank You, God, for Your Word. I thank You, Lord. I've been in the wilderness at times. And Lord, You've taught me the greatest lessons. It wasn't on the mountaintop that I learned these things. It was in the valley. It was in the desert. It was in the wilderness. Because You are a good God. And You're able to do good things even when bad things happen. Thank You, Lord, for Your love and Your grace. Now, as we worship God, I prayed that the stream of Your Holy Spirit the river of life. I pray that the First Baptist would be a Spirit-filled, a Spirit-alive church, where the Spirit of life, the waters of life, the river of life would spring up in us like a well springing up into everlasting life. Help us today, Lord. Help us, God. And I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't just go around in circles and let us not lay again the foundation of repentance. Help us to move on to maturity, Lord, and to grow and to learn what it is that you would have us to learn. Guide us, I pray. And this I ask now in your precious and holy name. Amen.
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through His Word. Blessings.